The Old Testament reading for the third midweek Advent service is from Isaiah chapter 61, beginning at verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They shall build up the ancient ruins. They shall raise up the former devastations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the devastations of many generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrong. I will faithfully give them their recompense, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Their offspring shall be known among the nations, and their descendants in the midst of the peoples. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are an offspring the Lord has blessed. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself like a priest with a beautiful headdress, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes what is sown in it to sprout up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to sprout up before all the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. This is the word of the Lord. A reading from John, the first chapter, verses 6 to 8, and also, in addition to what's in the bulletin, verses 19 to 28. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. This is the testimony of John. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" And he answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you? We need to give an answer to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself?" John said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now they had been sent from the Pharisees. They asked him, "Then why are you baptizing, if you are neither the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know, even he who comes after me, the strap of whose sandal I am not worthy to untie." These things took place in Bethany across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. This is the word of the Lord. Our sermon text today is John chapter 1, verses 6 to 8, and actually all the way up to verse 28, as I just read in the gospel lesson. The title of the sermon today is The Art of Introductions. As some of you know, during my years of service in the Midwest, I was involved in several Lutheran organizations associated with the Missouri Synod. The Concordia Historical Institute, which is the History and Archives Department of the Synod, sponsored at least one banquet and two conferences a year, sometimes more. Since I was the director of the Institute from 2002 to 2008, the job of introducing all the speakers to the audience was mine. From 1993 to 2008, I served on the board of directors of the Luther Academy, which also sponsored one or two conferences a year. At those conferences, I normally introduced one or two speakers, the job rotating between board members and the executive director. In my first year of doing introductions to speakers, I learned that there is more to that job than meets the eye. The first thing I learned was that the people did not come to the conference to listen to me. They came to hear the main speakers. So whatever I said had to be short and to the point. The second thing was that the audience needs to know the credentials of the speaker. That is, what makes him or her an authority on the subject. The third thing I learned was that the introducer needs to put the audience in the right frame of mind to receive the speaker and to hear what he has to say. In our gospel lesson for this morning, we are reintroduced to the character of John the Baptist. John hardly needs any introduction to Christians. From childhood, we have heard the stories about this wild man living in the wilderness, wearing a camel hair suit, eating locusts and wild honey. John's diet gave new meaning to the recipe for grasshopper pie. I'm sure that if John were transplanted across time to the 19th century, the mountain man rendezvous in Wyoming, he would have fit in just fine with those guys. John didn't need any introduction to the Jews living in Palestine in the first century either. He was well known as the son of the priest Zacharias, who everybody knew had seen an angel while serving in the temple. Angels in Jewish history were often portents of things to come. So the people of Judea all knew already that John was somebody special. But what type of special? That was a mystery to them, as we can see in our text. There were some wild speculations about John. Some people thought he might be Elijah, come back from the dead. Now, that was a really wild guess, because as you know, Elijah never died. So how could he come back from the dead? Remember, he took a red-hot, horse-drawn chariot ride straight into heaven while he was still living. Now, just imagine putting those horses on that chariot under the hood of your car. It would leave the DeLorean car from the movie Back to the Future in the dust. Everybody knew that John was the natural-born son of Zacharias through Elizabeth, so they were all way off when they thought that he was Elijah. Some people thought John might be the prophet. Now, this was a reference to Deuteronomy 18, 15 to 18. In those verses, Moses promised the people Israel this, quote, The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For the Lord God said to me, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. End of quote. Now those who thought John was this prophet, which they called the prophet, were close, but not right on target. And in verse 21 of our text, John denied that he was the prophet. Some people thought John might be the anointed one, the son of David, whom we call the Messiah or the Christ. But no, wild guesses again there. John denied that identity in verse 20. So what was John? John was the man whose job was to introduce Jesus. He was the introducer of Jesus to the people of Israel and to the world. John's role as the introducer of Jesus is announced in verses 7 to 8 of our text, where it says, John came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John himself said the very same thing in different words, again in our text, verse 23. There he said, I am the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. That was a reference to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. In introducing Jesus, John more or less followed the three rules of the art of introductions. First, he knew that the people needed to hear the main speaker from God, and that was Jesus. So he kept his messages short and to the point. Unlike other prophets, we have very little recorded of John's preaching, and that was intentional. He did not want to preempt the coming Messiah or even gather a school of disciples around himself. That was not his calling or job. Second, John knew that he had to set forth the credentials for Jesus. That is, what would make Jesus an authority as a teacher about God, religion, and salvation. And so John did that. And those words we have in the New Testament. For example, John 1, verse 15 and 30, John said of Jesus, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And this credential then was Jesus' preexistence as the eternal Logos. In John 1:29, John said of Jesus, behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. This credential was Jesus' work of salvation through his suffering and death on the cross. Notice that the world's sins were taken away. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Christ took the punishment for all men, women, children, and infants throughout history. Everybody's included. By his redemption of mankind from sin, death, and the devil, Jesus owns every man, woman, and child. He is thus, because he bought us, our master. Excuse me. Let me repeat that. Because he bought us with his precious blood, he is our master. He is the one we must hear and heed. In John 1:32-33, John said of Jesus, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. This credential was the testimony and approval of the Holy Spirit, who had spoken by the Old Testament prophets and would also speak through John and Jesus. Finally, in John 1:34, John said of Jesus, I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Well, there's no higher credential than that. As God the Father's only and true Son, Jesus speaks on God's behalf to all mankind. When Jesus enters the podium as the speaker, you better listen, because he is God himself incarnate on earth. Third, in the matter of the art of introductions, John knew that he had to put his audience in the right frame of mind to receive the next speaker and what he had to say. And that is why John kept telling the people, repent. And he kept telling the Pharisees, you brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Repent, all of you. John knew that what Jesus had to say would fall on many deaf ears. Jesus told the people, you are enslaved to sin. The Pharisees replied, we are Abraham's children. We have never been anybody's slaves. John 8:33. They refused to hear the message that they were sinners. And so, because of that, they refused to be baptized or hear the message of salvation from sin. To them, one and all, John kept saying, repent of your sins, all of you, and be baptized. John's message is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago. You all need to repent of your sins and remember your baptism, through which Jesus' forgiveness was applied to you. You all need to remember who Jesus is. He is the pre-existent Logos. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one upon whom the Spirit descended, and he is the one and only Son of God. Jesus is God's main speaker for all mankind. And after all those artful introductions by John, you have no choice but to listen to Jesus' every word. In our Savior's name, amen.